Well, again, I am so proud to see them share the Christmas story with us, the story of the birth of Christ. That's our goal. And everything we do, not just at Christmas, but all through the year, we have some amazing volunteers that meet every Wednesday, every Sunday. Miss Darnell just does a fantastic job of leading them to tell them the gospel story. That's our goal, is to preach the gospel, and not just to the kids, but to you guys too. The gospel message is the greatest truth that we can ever, ever learn. It is the utmost important of all things that we can know, is the truth that God came to this earth in the flesh to give us a way to be redeemed from our sins. And we hope that every single child knows that, every teacher that we have that spends time with those kids, that's their plan, that's their goal, is to make the gospel plain and clear to those kids. And as a parent here at Grace, I'm eternally grateful to those who spend their time and give their gifts of teaching to those. My voice isn't the greatest to listen to this morning, so I won't speak very long, but I do want to share just a few things with you. I was thinking about some of the things that the kids said as they were going through their play, and the angels over here reminded us about how God used those created beings. They're messengers. They were created by God. We don't know how many they are. We just get a glimpse every now and again into what the angels of God do. It mentioned Daniel. Daniel refused to stop praying to the Lord. And because of that, he was thrown into a pit of lions. And God sent an angel and shut the mouth of the lion, protected Daniel because of Daniel's faithfulness. And many, many other times in the Old Testament, there are prophets like Zechariah. God sends angels to give the message to God's prophet so that he could proclaim that to Israel. And so many different times, angels step in. God uses those. But it's always to an individual's deliverance. Daniel needed to be delivered. The Israelites needed to be delivered. But God knew we needed a deliverance that was worldwide, for all ages, for all people. And that's where Jesus Christ came in, as deliverance for mankind. There's a deliverance that was needed, and God had a plan to bring it about. And that plan is Jesus Christ. See, Jesus is not an angel. Sometimes people get a little tripped up with this. Jesus wasn't created when he was born here. Jesus is part of the eternal triune God, part of the Father, the Spirit, and he is the Son. He is far above the angels. Hebrews 1 explains this a little bit through that whole first chapter, but let me read you the first three verses, and they're up there on the screen. It says, long ago, at many times, and I just told you about a few of them, in many ways, God used animals to speak. You think about Balaam and different things like that. In many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, that includes you and I, friend. In these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, and through whom also he created the world. And not just this physical world that we live in now, but the ages, times past, present, and future. Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God. Angels are not that. He is the exact imprint of God's nature. Angels are not that. Jesus upholds the universe just by the word of his power. Angels definitely are not that. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And beloved, he is there right now, ever interceding for you and I on our behalf for the forgiveness of our sins. Angels can't do that. And the rest of that chapter goes on to talk about many, many more things that show us a picture of who our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, is. It's a wonderful, wonderful read. And then later on in Hebrews 10, it talks about Jesus and what he does at the right hand of God. It says that every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly, every day, the priest the same sacrifices, but they can never take away sins. That's why they did it repeatedly, every day. The Jewish priests were going to the temple repeatedly. God spelled out different things for them to do, but they were just a temporary atonement. They could never take away sins. When we think about that, is one of the problems. You know, we saw the scene with the kids. There was sin that had taken place. Hateful words had been spoken. Hatred was there. That sin has to be forgiven. The words have been spoken. She can't do enough good things to take back what has already been done. It doesn't work that way. So there has to be a way for sin to be forgiven. And Hebrews 10 and verse 12 continues on. But when Christ had offered for all time, remember the priest did it daily, but when Christ did it, it was once for all time. He offered a single sacrifice for sin. It was his body and his blood. Then he sat down at the right hand of God. So it's a miracle that has happened. Jesus Christ has come to earth, been born as a baby, entered into the human race, God in the flesh. He said he'd call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. I do not understand how that all happened, but I believe it. Philippians gives us just a little bit of a description of how and what went on when Jesus Christ, the eternal Savior, stepped out of glory into the earth. Let's read it together. This is verse 6 through 11 of Philippians 2. Wonderful verses, amazing, far beyond my comprehension. But God tells us in Philippians, talking about Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped. He didn't aspire to it or hope he would attain it. It just was. It just was. He is. He emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. You know, we won't say, oh, he came as a baby. Yes. But Philippians puts a little more information. He came as a servant. Remember what we've just read? He upholds the universe just by the word of his power. That Jesus came as a servant, being born in the likeness of man, being found in human form, the creator of the universe that holds everything by the word of his power, humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, because Jesus did that, God has highly exalted him, we know where, at the right hand of the Father, we've read it, and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. That includes angels. They will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Remember what the angel said? Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. His name will be Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. That's our Lord. That's our Savior. That is Jesus Christ that we talk about, that we worship. Glory to God. And you remember, after the angels make that announcement to the shepherds, I love this. One asked, hey, should we go get cleaned up and, you know, get some clean clothes, get the dirt and the sheep and the field and all that smell off of us? No, there's no time. A Savior has been born. We got to go. We got to go. The same for us, friend. There's no time. Just like you can't do anything to erase something that's already been done, we can't do anything to make us to improve our standing before a holy God. There's no amount of cleaning, no amount of self-help, no amount of fixing things in our life that we can do. We don't have the power to do those things. We come to Jesus just like the shepherds. When you hear the voice of God, you come, you go. There's no time and no need to do anything else. We come to Christ like the shepherds came, just as they are. And it's kind of backwards. We should be bringing him gifts, but he is the gift giver in this. He gives us the most precious, amazing gift that has ever been given. We've read it there. It's his himself. It's the sacrifice on the cross. It's eternal life that is given through Jesus Christ. That we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead after he died on that cross. And we confess that he is Lord. We come to him in repentance and faith and believing. We can be saved and we get that gift of salvation. We get the forgiveness of our sins. Eternal life in heaven with him. The Holy Spirit right here and now indwelling our hearts as a child of God. It's a threefold gift. Ephesians 2 explains this to us. That the salvation and the gift of God that he has given to us is grace, what we cannot earn. It's salvation, what we do not deserve. And it's faith, the power to believe. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, the gift of God. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. What an amazing gift that God has given to us. All we must do is repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we shall be saved. That's a wonderful gift that we've been given, we've been afforded to us this Christmas. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, holy, holy, holy are you. Thank you so much that we can come together at this place. We can sing the songs of our faith. We can see your word acted out on the stage. We can open up the inerrant, perfect word of God, read what your message is to your people. Thank you, thank you, thank you for this time. Lord, we just think about a couple of men in our church that stand in need of prayer. Lord, we lift up Steve Mahaffey to you. God, we just ask as he and his family continue to wait on you and make decisions about his cancer treatment, God, that you would be merciful during this time, that you would help him, Candy, and all the family involved as they continue to go through treatment and listen to the doctors. Lord, we just ask that you just continue to give strength, grace, and power in the midst of those times. Lord, for our pastor, we praise you that he's come through surgery, that he's recovering, but we know he's still so very weak. So many needs that are there. So God, we ask that you would continue to strengthen his body, his spirit, his mind. Cinda and all the family as they care for him. God, we just lift up the shepherd that you have given to us at Grace. Been so faithful to bring your word to us. God, we ask that you just strengthen him in a powerful, mighty way as he recovers and continues to recover. Now, we thank you that we have some time. We can come together. You provided us with spiritual food here as we've worshiped together, and now you provide us with physical food that we could go and fellowship with one another, have a meal together and enjoy each other. God, you're so good to us. But you provide all of our needs. You show us and you direct us. You teach us. You reprove us out of the great, great love that you have given to us. God, help us to reflect that back on to you and to others as we have the opportunity. It's in Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. Amen.